Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Speaking of Kings, we got a new king in the city of Chicago, and his name is Justin Fields. And I know my boy Devore got a lot to say about it, because last time he was unable to hop on the pod because, you know, we got bills to pay, you know. So I want to hear what you're feeling.
First and foremost, let me give a standing round of applause to Ryan Pace. Now that that's out the way, we got a motherfucking quarterback. Finally, in the city of Chicago, we got a goddamn quarterback, man. I'm not going to lie. I literally dropped tears behind this, like real tears. And it's crazy because, you know, a lot of people, they just didn't feel that pain that I felt, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people couldn't understand it. To be a Bears fan, you got to know what that feel like. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what that feel like. And the fact of the matter that we have a motherfucking quarterback. We got a quarterback, not just a quarterback, but a generational talent at quarterback.
That's the key.
I'm fucking ecstatic, man. I'm ecstatic.
It's a good feeling, man. It's because it seems like we've been gut punched for so long with this organization, man.
So long.
Like we had the number three pick. And everybody was like, we getting Jamal Adams. I'm like, we're not picking no damn Jamal Adams. I knew we were picking a quarterback. But it was like, are they going to pick the right one? So we move up to number two, and that feeling, you nervous. And then you like, Miss Trubisky. And you like, who?
Right.
When you got Deshaun Watson, the national champion?
I had a feeling they was going to say Mac Jones for a minute.
That was my fear.
I was like, God, no, please.
You know, that was my fear. And I was like, we're always the one team that don't get it right. Aaron Rodgers dropped past us. You know, we didn't pick Russell Wilson. It's always something, you know, with us, man. And to get a guy who's like, you know, I had 1A and 1B, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. So to get Justin Fields, man, to me, it was just as good as getting Trevor Lawrence, because those guys are like, I put it up on Twitter, dude, their stats, their wins, their losses. They've been battling each other since high school, since the Elite 11. They've been all in the national spotlight. It's always been 1 and 2, 1 and 2, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Right.
These other guys came out of nowhere. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. I've been watching these guys since high school.
Right.
High school. They've been on ESPN. So this is crazy. Sometimes it's not even like I have to catch myself, man.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation that we had, you know. I mean, I'm glad we gave Pace his credit, right? You know what I mean? Because I've been on Pace's case.
Yeah.
And it doesn't solve everything that he's done, that I feel like he's done to the Bears organization. And by no means is he off the hook. I mean, there's still holes in the roster. There's still things that need to be addressed, of course, right? But this is a step in the right direction, in my opinion. You know, we're gonna get more into it too, man. But you know, before we go any further, we got a guest on today, Fat Mike from Chicago, right? And let's bring him in first, and then let him introduce his Twitter handle and everything like that.
No doubt. This is Fat Mike. Fat Mike. Round of applause for Fat Mike right there. Give it up for him. Give it up.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. This is awesome. Thanks.
Sure.
No problem, man.
Yes, sir.
So, man, how are you?
I, I'm in my car, guys. I'm in my car. I apologize. Or else I'd have the big old Cheetos Papa Shop behind me ready to rock and roll. But, you know, it is what it is. This is my fault. I lost track of time. I apologize.
No, it's all good, man.
I'm good, baby.
We appreciate you coming on, man, and talking to us. I know it's been kind of hit or miss. We got some scheduling conflicts and things like that. But, you know what I mean? You making yourself available tonight, man, we appreciate that.
Yeah, we've been playing a little bit of tag, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. You know, so Mike, man, we, you know, how we really got started. Of course, I came on and I talked to you on your show before. But, you know, what really got us moving in this direction to have you on today is, you know, you had the Justin Fields situation where he got drafted on Thursday, of course. And your initial reaction, I think, on Twitter, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, OK. So you wasn't really a fan of the move out of the gate, right?
Right. No. I mean, I'll be 100% mad enough to admit it. 100% out of the gate, I was not a happy camper moving up and sacrificing more draft capital for the future underneath the regime of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to move up to grab Justin Fields. I mean, what have these guys, I mean, initially, like I said, initially, what have these two dipshits proved to us over the last 3 years? Absolutely nothing. All right, and to move up to grab Justin Fields and risk more draft capital, it broke my heart as a Bear fan. It really did. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I didn't understand it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not nothing, absolutely zero against Justin Fields as a player, as a human, as a new draft pick. Absolutely zero against him. All right. I was more worried about no matter who you brought in, you have to be able to protect them. Plain and simple. Whether it be Justin Fields, Matt Jones, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, I don't give a shit who it was. You've got to have somebody there to protect the talent that you draft. That's why, I mean, I've been saying this for the last 2 years, guys. Roy, D, Daniel, you guys know this. I've been saying nothing but O-line.
Right.
The whole entire time.
Right.
Give me the fattest, biggest, cornbread fucking corn-fed guy that you got.
He did, too.
No doubt. He definitely did.
Day two, that pick of drafting Justin Fields on day one, all right?
That pick there,
so much happier.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that kind of, I guess that, like you said, on day two, it kind of made it a little bit better when we was able to get Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins, he was slated for a first rounder, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
By all
the mocks, everybody had him going in the first round. So we was able to get him later. I think that was priceless right there, man. That was a good move.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially moving up again. All right, on day two, there were five. Let's see if I can remember what their names were. It was Tevin Jenkins, Jalen Mayfield, Liam Eichenberg, Samuel Cosme, and there's another one floating in there. And it's the name is Clemson, escaping me. Right?
It's the one for Clemson. I forgot his name. He went in the first.
Darrisaw went to the Vikings in the first. But there's another tackle in that mix on day two that either one you would have gotten, I would have been happier than a pig in shit for. Number one on my list was Tevin Jenkins. And when they moved up to grab him, I completely did a complete 360, man. I was all aboard. Let's fucking go, Bears.
Yeah, he's
Let's
a beast, go. Man. That boy's a beast.
They don't call this kid the babyface assassin for any reason. You know what I mean?
That's right.
This kid's going to go out there and he's going to move some shit. And that's exactly what the Bears need.
He does it too, man. He does it.
Yeah, he's a beast.
You know, when I came on your show, man, I think that's where we were. That's where we were. Offensive line. You know?
Yes, sir.
And you know, like you, I was nervous about the regime that we have. Is he gonna ruin this guy? Is he gonna mess it up? And it remains to be seen. Like Nagy, I'm still not sold on, right? How you feeling about Nagy? How you feel? I know you said the whole regime, but what about Nagy? Do you think going forward, is he going to change anything when it comes to his play calling and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I think he has to. I think we all know what type of – I mean, going forward, I think we all know what type of player Justin Fields is. Right? Everybody thinks he's a run-first guy, and that is not the case. That's not the case. All right, what you have here is you have a guy who can sit back in the pocket like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning. But you also have a quarterback with legs like Lamar Jackson who thinks pass first instead of run first.
Absolutely.
And that's huge. It's massive, guys.
Yeah.
What you've got in Justin Fields now is absolutely detrimental to this Bears organization. You just got to give this kid protection.
Yeah.
This kid is going to be a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
As long as you put the horses in front of him.
And okay, honestly, I mean, Fat Mike, in all honesty, I think we got the younger version of Russell Wilson.
Bigger,
faster,
stronger.
We got the younger version of Russell Wilson.
We say this all the time, guys. I mean, you guys see this all the time just like I do. You guys watch football. You guys are football nuts just like I am, okay? Every single year, we see that player that's bigger, that's stronger, that's faster than the old guys. You're like, holy shit, what just happened here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Justin Fields is that next prototype. This kid is the next generation, man. Yeah. Like, everybody thought Kyler Murray was the next dude. Well, Kyler Murray's only 5'9".
Right.
Justin Fields is 6'3".
Right.
With extra soles in his shoes.
Exactly. So, I mean, we got something special here, guys. We just got to hone it in. All right, that's all I'm saying. We got to hone this thing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you 100% on that one, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, Tevin Jenkins, man, I'm telling you. And it's not even just Tevin Jenkins. Picking up Larry Borum, too, a swing tackle.
Yeah.
Is fucking huge.
Yeah.
For the Chicago Bears.
I had no idea who that guy was, and I went back. You know, you can watch the clips on YouTube. Where you just watch every snap. Man.
Yeah,
I watched every snap versus Alabama and LSU. He didn't give up a sack, dude. I was like, who is this dude?
He was an All-American here in Michigan. He went to Brother Rice.
Yeah.
He went to Brother Rice here in Michigan in high school.
He is what I like to call a bad motherfucker, guys. I mean, everybody knows that saying from Pulp Fiction, which Wallace Mann is the one that says bad motherfucker on it.
Yeah.
That's what Larry Borum owns. He is a bad dude. And him, if you pair him up, if somebody like a Fetty, who we've all been kind of skeptical of since we've gotten him from Seattle, you know, he's been kind of a swinging door at times, that swinging bar door, in and out, in and out. Well, Larry Borum can fill that void on right tackle if you need him to. On left tackle if you need him to. That's the good thing about having a swing tackle that can play out both positions.
I honestly think we drafted both of our starting tackles in this draft for the next 10 years.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. And that's what I was thinking too. I was thinking, you know, Tevin Jenkins is going to step in he's probably going to get left tackle, of course.
Yeah.
I think with right tackle, Borum is probably going to get, the only thing that I see that Borum is going to need, and he's not going to need it as much on the right side as opposed to a left, is maybe just a little bit more quickness with his feet. If he can work on that just a little bit, then he'll be fine. But, I mean, the dude is 6'6", 335 pounds, man.
Bro, he ran a 5'1".
He's huge.
Yeah. He ran a 5'1" on a 40.
That's insane.
He's
6'7", 322.
What he lacks on speed, guys, he totally makes up for with actual quickness with his hands
and power.
Actual strength.
Yeah.
He has strength. He can move a fucking tank, this kid. Okay, I mean, that's exactly what we need. And to move the ball, we've all sat here last year where I was like, when the fuck is Matt Nagy going to run the goddamn ball?
Yeah.
All right? Well, now you got the horses in front. You got the pigs is what I like to call them. Guys, I played O-line. All right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they call me Fat Mike, okay? I played O-line. I move the fucking ball, baby. That's what I do.
That's it.
You got them pigs up front. You move that fucking ball. That's the way to go, man. I see that starting offensive line looking kind of like this, guys. At left tackle, like Daniel, D, and Roy, like you guys just said, Tevin Jenkins is going to be your left tackle, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. You're going to have Whitehair at left guard. You're going to have Mustafa at center.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Daniels at right guard. And you're going to have a Fetty to start the year at right tackle.
Yeah.
But if a Fetty sucks balls, guess who's coming in?
Yeah.
Fucking Larry Borum, baby.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we need.
Yeah. You're preaching. Preach. Pastor Collection played around. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He preaching right now. Mike preaching.
Well, I mean, man, Daniel, you know this shit, man. I've been preaching the same shit for 2 years, guys.
Yeah.
We can,
yeah.
It all starts up front, man. Whether it doesn't matter. Completely exclude Ryan Pace. Completely exclude Matt Nagy. You cannot move the ball unless you don't have the horses up front.
Absolutely.
You need an O line, and that's why, like you said, like you could, like when Dan hit me up the other night, like, hey man, I want to talk to you about this fucking. How come you're so pissed off about Justin Fields? I was pissed off about Justin Fields because I was like, okay, what are you going to do to protect this kid?
Yeah,
that's all fine and dandy. You're going to draft fucking Trevor Lawrence. I don't care.
Right.
What are you going to do to protect him? Right. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And they did. So, hey, man, I'll eat crow. I'm okay with that. I'll eat crow all fucking day. They got Devin Jenkins. The baby face assassin, baby. I love it.
Exactly, man.
You know what? You said that when I text you and I asked you why, you actually said that. You were like, I got to get the line. And I was like, hey, I ain't got no argument with that, because I think I said early in this offseason, I said the number two things that the Bears need to do this offseason is quarterback and tackle.
Yep.
That was it. Like nothing.
You know
else
the crazy
mattered.
Thing about it is, I followed that up when he was like, "Oh, line." I was like, "Don't worry about it. One's coming in the next round. Don't worry about
you
it."
Did.
But I didn't think it was going to be Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah. I even said, man. I was like, "Fucking thoughts and prayers, man. We need that shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, sweet Pete, we needed that like a fucking hole."
I told him,
man.
I said, "It's coming." I was like, "Just wait. It's coming." I was like, "It's coming. This upcoming round. Watch this." And then
it was
boom, Tevin Jenkins.
It was a point in time in this offseason where I was thinking to myself, like. And I stated it several times, offensive tackle, first two rounds. Because I didn't think we had a chance to really move up to get a quarterback, right?
Right.
And sitting at 20, I'm like, how feasible is it for us to move up
what
to
a fucking draft.
Five or six to try to grab somebody, you know, one of the top guys? And I didn't want to take Trask at 20 or nothing like that.
No.
Or nothing like that. So I was like, look, tackle, you know what I mean? Three tackles if we can. You know what I mean? That's three offensive linemen.
Well, so. the best thing to happen to the Chicago Bears this year was the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys being nuts to butts with each other there.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, honestly, you guys laugh, but that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
None of those teams need a quarterback.
Right.
You got Jalen Hurts in Philly. You got that Daniel Jones kid, Danny Dimes up in New York Giants.
The Giants need a quarterback. They just don't know it yet.
Listen, hey, man, I love Danny Dimes. Don't shit on that kid just yet. I like him. He ain't bad. They need somebody to fucking where he can throw the ball to. But anyways, I'm not a fucking Giants show. But I hate every fucking New York sports team. Every one of them. All right? If we're going to – and then the Cowboys, they don't need a quarterback with Dak coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While the Giants and Eagles are playing fucking footsie with one another, trying to get rid of a pick, neither of them needed a quarterback. And that's where Ryan Pace stepped in and was like, hey, I want that pick, and I'm willing to give you something for it.
Yeah.
Boom. Done deal. And it was, hey, man, we got Justin Fields for it.
Yes, a couple days ago, we had our potter before, me and Roy, and we were talking about it, and I was like, it's funny that we can really shout out these teams that really helped us, man. Like the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, but not only them, Denver,
Carolina.
Thank Denver. Thank the Lions. Thank everybody that passed on Justin Fields.
Yeah, no shit.
Dumb asses.
In that first round, guys. Okay, so I want to ask you guys a question. I know, I'm the guest. And I have, like, again, guys, I appreciate you having me. I love you guys. I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, right. man.
And I want to ask you guys a question. So now I'm playing host here, okay?
All right.
Where were the biggest fuck-ups in the first round?
The Raiders.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
The Raiders.
No, I got a different
Go ahead.
I got a different one. Green Bay.
Yeah.
Them too. But the Raiders was that the dude, ultimate get, shit
I gotta,
show.
I got a
the
bigger
dude,
fuck up.
The dude that Green Bay drafted, that dude was slated to go late second round, early third round.
Yeah.
They just
picked him in the first
Aaron
round,
Rodgers.
Bro. And they did that exactly. They did that just to make Aaron Rodgers mad. But see, to me, you savvy. You cut your nose off to spite your own face.
Absolutely.
Yep. By doing that. So
I got two teams. The New York Jets and the San Francisco 49ers for passing on Justin Fields.
I 100% agree with you on the 49ers.
You know?
They fucked up. Thank you. They fucked up.
Where's your fuck up?
Like I said, I had the Oakland Raiders, but, you know, I'm going to go Oakland Raiders, Green Bay Packers, and the San Francisco 49ers. Straight up.
Right. They picked the guy
again. I'm going to say this. You want to see where I agree with you guys. 49ers, 100%. Moving up nine spots, giving rid of the Capitals.
To take a gamble.
Like the Bears did. Just like the Bears did in 2017.
To take a gamble.
To move up to grab that shit-stained fucking Mitch.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right? Just like the Bears did to grab that fucking asshole. All right? Sorry, guys. I keep it real, man. I apologize.
Hey, man.
Guys, beforehand, if I could swear, I'm sorry. I'm a dickhead.
It's cool, man. It's all good.
Just like before, all right, San Fran moved up nine spots to grab Trey Lance. That makes my shirt a little tight around the neck, boy. I'm telling you, man, I don't like it. The other fuck up, I'm going to tell you guys this right now, is the Cincinnati Bengals fucking up and not getting a tackle.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're right.
Risk Joe Burrow's fucking future last year on not having protection for this kid. And then you go out and you want to play fucking buddy-buddy because he played college football with this fucking guy?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Don't you want to protect that kid?
Yeah.
That's the move I thought the Bears would make this year after drafting Justin Fields.
Yeah.
That was fucking stupid.
All right? That's what I thought they were going to do. You got to understand, that was my mindset. Like, they're going to draft Justin Fields, and then they're going to draft some fucking shithead wide receiver. Jeez. And we're still without protection. But Cincinnati was the fuck up there. Yeah. They didn't grab Penei Sewell. That hurts, guys. That hurts.
Yeah, that's a major mess up right there. If
they're looking for sure shoo-in Hall of Famer this draft.
Yep.
That dude was amazing. Right? Ryan Pace learned his lesson.
Yeah, if there's one for sure shoo-in Hall of Famer in this draft, barring injury, it's Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's on everybody's draft board. That was across the board. Nobody disliked him. Yeah, that's a major mess.
I was like, really?
My head nearly exploded when that fucking happened. I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
You can live with mediocre wide receivers. Right. But you got to protect that franchise quarterback who just tore his ACL.
Because your left tackle fell asleep.
Did you see that scar on his knee?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, when they did the whole, when they had him sitting on the, sitting up there with the big ass scar on his knee.
God damn.
Then you sit up here and just pass.
I'm telling you, it looks like I did his surgery.
That's Cincinnati, though. Cincinnati's a trash organization.
Exactly. Dude. Exactly.
Oh,
hopefully
man,
he does his time and get the fuck out of there.
I mean, what's the point of going on? I get it, man. I get it. That Jamar Chase, he's a fucking stud. I understand it. I get it. All right? But you still have T. Higgins out there who's fucking slaying it last year.
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd, yep.
Dude, you fucking nailed it on the head. All right, Tyler Boyd. If I was the Bears right now, fuck Marquise Goodwin. Get on the horn and see if you can trade a third or a second for next year to grab Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
I do that.
I'll be on board.
He got speed. He got height. I'll do that.
He could fucking catch the ball, unlike Anthony Miller's bum ass.
Absolutely.
You better get the Boyd fired up.
When they say he might not make the roster. Look, when they say Anthony Miller, I'll be like, who is that? Who is this guy? Seriously.
You ain't joking, man.
He might not make the roster.
He's not going to. Listen, the Bears are stacking the wide receiver position with speed, okay? That fake ass 4.38 that they claim Miller ran, he don't fucking run a 4.38. Who the fuck timed him is what I want to know, because he didn't run at the combine. He didn't.
I ain't never seen. He's nowhere close to a 4.38.
Hell no. So who the fuck gave him that 4.38 40 time? He's more like a 4.6.
Yeah.
He's quick. I posted the breakdown of Anthony Miller, and I said, you know, who are they describing right here?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the perfect fucking breakdown of him coming out his rookie year, and everything they said that was his weakness, That yep. rookie year is the same shit that plagues him 3 years to the day today.
Right.
The exact right. same. So that tells me you haven't worked on your game. You haven't gotten better. They figured you out. They found out what your weakness was, and they exploit it every fucking week. That's why you can't get open.
Right. Yeah, the thing with Anthony Miller is he just can't get off the ball.
Exactly.
He can't get off that first initial block. He gets stuck at the line.
Exactly.
And he gets boxed out. You know, that first initial contact fucks him up. So somebody like Jalen Ramsey or whoever is going to play on him, any physical cornerback or any physical nickel is going to take him completely out of the game.
Absolutely. And then the unnecessary movement. The unnecessary. Right, yeah. What this too? You do you.
When he does all
you're
this.
Doing too much fucking moving. That's not fooling nobody. Okay, run right. a fucking route. Okay, and run it at the correct depth, and then catch the fucking ball. Can you do that?
Right. You know who couldn't jam Darnell Mooney? I mean, you know Jalen Ramsey couldn't. He could not Darnell right. Mooney.
Guys,
he's smaller.
I said it last year with Dan on my show. That Darnell Mooney, that kid's your next Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
I mean, I said it last year. I mean, that's no bullshit. I remember that. Watch this. This fucking kid is wicked smart, guys.
Yeah.
Wicked smart. And now, like, you know, everybody was talking all this shit about if Allen Robinson's going to come back or not. You know, everybody's saying 3A Rob, yada, yada, yada. I was first and foremost. I mean, Dan, you know this, man. I even said it on that show. If I was Allen Robinson, there was no fucking way I was coming back to the Chicago Bears
right,
this year.
Right. I remember that.
Zero. Zilch. You know if I, you know where I was going if I was Allen Robinson?
Where?
Take a guess, guys.
Green
Our
Bay.
Our most hated. Exactly. Green Bay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, go. Why have the tides have turned?
Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers with Allen Robinson right now?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
But Aaron, my goodness.
Between
him and Devontae Adams, holy shit, man. I'm telling you.
That would be tough. But Aaron Rodgers said he's not going back.
Wide receiving core in football. That'd be the best wide receiving core in football. But now that you got Justin Fields locked in, all right, you finally got that kid some protection. I don't think Allen Robinson's going fucking anywhere.
Hell no.
No, he's
not. You ain't going to hear a peep. You ain't going to hear a peep.
Dude, now. Has a quarterback that can finally get him the ball.
Mike, you're gonna be sitting down enjoying yourself an adult beverage. You're gonna be watching Sports Center or whatever, and it's gonna scroll across the bottom. Allen Robinson signs a 3-year extension to stay with the Chicago Bears.
Where did that come from?
I will shit a brick of gold, and I'll happiest motherfucker in Chicago.
I wouldn't be shocked with the cutting of Charles Leno. Before June 1st, that extra $9 million, I wouldn't be shocked if they rolled that money. I wouldn't be shocked if they rolled that money over into paying A Rob.
Dude,
I wouldn't be
don't
shocked.
Don't even get me started on fucking Charles Leno.
Get on Charles
Lord.
Leno. Because I've been hearing the love fest about Charles Leno, right? And he's the Andy Dalton of left tackles, right? He's not horrible.
Guys, I caught it. I told you he was getting cut. I told you he was getting cut. I said he's getting cut.
I've seen parking cones throw fucking better blocks than Charles Leno.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen parking cones hold up defenders better than Charles Leno.
Hey, did
Leno.
You guys see the PFF stats where they were like, look, Charles Leno played better at the end of the year? That's because they were rolling bootlegs to the right.
From his away
from running
him.
Away
sorry,
from him.
Yes.
Exactly. Look, check it out. Like the biggest thing I can say about Charles Leno, and I told somebody this on Twitter earlier, he looked decent, only decent, but the only reason he looked decent is because he played most of the year next to Rashad Coward.
Yes.
If everybody's rushing past Rashad Coward, then it's looking like he's holding his own, but he doesn't have to hold it for 2 seconds.
Right.
1 second.
Right.
Because they're walking
getting away.
Coward. So, I mean, Leno has been soft. He's weak. He gets pushed back all the time. It is what it is. I don't care nothing about him being a nice guy and all of that. Matter of fact, I'd rather my offensive lineman be mean,
nasty. Big, mean, nasty bastard.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I want. Exactly. I want violent, big, angry-ass men who drive pickup trucks.
Exactly. I want the Washington Redskin hogs up front.
Yeah. Like I said, guys, that's why I called them pigs earlier. You know what I mean? That's what we are. I want to see – I would rather have my left tackle tell the reporter to go fuck himself and get the microphone out of my face than be softer than puppy shit like Charles Leno was.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. You couldn't move the line of scrimmage. That's the part that people don't get. And Lewis Riddick, shout out to Lewis Riddick, because I heard him talking. He said he was on Sylvie.
I love that fucking guy.
Waddle Sylvie. He said, you got to move the line of scrimmage. You're an offensive lineman. You have to forcibly move grown men against their will.
Yes.
That's what I need. I can worry about technique later. Well, he has good technique. I don't care.
You need furniture movers.
Can't move nobody.
Exactly. Move his ass. That's what you got to do.
You got to push him out of the way.
Guys,
love this dude.
Exactly. You need guys with an ass this big and fucking strength like an F-250. That's what you need, guys.
Absolutely. I need people to shut down restaurants when they go eat. I want my offensive linemen, when they go to Gibson Steakhouse, they get a $20,000 bill. Because they ate the fucking whole restaurant dry, dude. That's what I want.
That's it.
Money, so he'll be paying his own linemen if they protect him. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it, man. I love it. This Bears team, it's going to be exciting this year.
Absolutely.
Now, all of that being said, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be the host again one more time.
All right.
Justin Fields, you start him week one or no?
No. No.
There we go. Me, it depends. It depends, right?
On what, Roy?
It depends how he plays. If he's not ready, don't play him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he's completely behind the A ball, he's just not getting anything. Don't just throw him out there if he's not ready. But I'm telling you, if this guy comes to camp and he is lighting shit up, he is destroying things. Like, he is clearly better than every quarterback on this team. Like, it ain't even close. Like, Andy Dalton Cole, dude. Did you just see that? He just threw the ball 70 yards to fucking Darnell Mooney. And this dude's throwing checkdowns. No. You play him. Because I think the one thing I liked about Justin Fields that I liked way more than, let's say, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance was his readiness. I believe he's as ready as Trevor Lawrence because he's played in the big games. He's been in the spotlight. He's built for it. If there's two quarterbacks in this class, maybe Mac Jones, because he's kind of been out there too. You know, those guys are probably the most ready. I wouldn't put him out there if he wasn't ready. But if he's ready, you can't tell me that he can't run what Mitch was running last year.
I'm going to put it like this. Right.
Us four can run what Mitch was running last year.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's all you got to do is miss the 5-yard receiver by 10 yards.
Right.
Exactly. I say start him. I say start him, and there's a reason why. Because you got a team that can win right now. We got receiver depth. We got a running game. We got a defense that can play. You know what I mean? If these guys can come together, if he learns the playbook,
that's
start him.
Key.
It's no issue. It's no reason to hold him back if he's better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could say that without looking at a practice or a training camp or anything like that.
Just so watch the game.
He's just better. You know what I mean? So I would say start him. I say put him out there. And at the end of the day, if things don't go well, then Nagy has to get up out of here. It's on him. It's his fault. But if we sit him down and don't start him, then Nagy can always say, man, I'm just preparing Justin Fields. And then we're stuck with Nagy for another year.
Well,
Nagy needs to come through. Either he needs to come through right now. And if he fails, then he gets gone. And then we can get somebody else in here that can coach the guy better or whatever the case may be. But don't wait, man. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I say put him in there. He's ready.
All right.
He's ready.
Well, I'm going to say, and this is the honest to God truth, Matt Nagy knows he, as long as the kid is buying him time, him and Pace time, then, you know, Matt Nagy is a hell of a play caller. He's a hell of a play caller when shit is going good. Now, I'm not going to say he was shitty because there was a lot of times last year, especially against that Super Bowl defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, motherfuckers was running wide open in the end zone. And broke-ass Foles, he couldn't hit him because he didn't have any time. You know, you couldn't play him because they couldn't keep him upright. It was somebody in his grill every damn. By the time he take his third step and his drop, they in his ass. But Cass was running. Yep. Nagy had scheme plays where motherfuckers was running wide open. So I see that. Now we got the hogs up front. My thing is, if Justin Fields is kicking ass and taking names and practice against our defense, which, I mean, shit. And I mean, that's not saying much. But the thing is that if he knows how to pick apart coverages and can recognize schemes and disguises and coverages and can find guys wide open, which they said this kid is smart as hell, extremely smart. If he can do that and if he can diagnose coverages, then all means let him fucking go and let him play.
Yeah.
But if he don't and if he struggles, then you go to the backup. Then he's wondering about his confidence and shit like that. You know,
I don't think Justin's built like that, though.
I hope not.
He don't seem like a guy that's worried about his confidence. Like, yeah. he's not to bag on Mitch, man, but he ain't nothing like mentally like Mitch.
It's a whole different ball game, mm-hmm. man. You can look at the dude and tell. He just commands the room. He commands the huddle, the team. Mitch, it never looked like he was comfortable in the role that he had, right? As quarterback, right. As leader. He never looked like he was comfortable there. It always looked awkward. It always looked weird. And that's not stressful. That's not him. That wasn't him. And it's because he only played 13 games in college. This right. dude has been to national championships. This dude has been on TV. This guy has been on Netflix. You know what I mean? Since he was a kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's been doing this, man. He's ready for it. It's time. It's time. He grew up doing it.
What's your take?
I kind of hang back a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Only because of the fact that I don't want to see this kid killed.
I don't want to see him ruined.
You got to see what you have. Yeah, I'm sitting here and I'm all gung-ho on this offensive line, guys. I've said it before. But just because I'm gung-ho on it doesn't mean it's going to work.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, you know, so I want to see... throw Andy Dalton out there.
Let him get fucked up.
Right? Yeah.
Let's not have the future of the Chicago Bears get killed in the right. first 4 weeks.
That makes sense.
All right? And I want the speed of the game to come to Justin Fields.
Exactly. Want it to
That's
slow down.
That's what I want to see. I want the speed of the game to come to him. So if, you know, Andy Dalton, there's a lot to learn. It's not going to be the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes fucking play. Like, it's not going to be that comic book storyline system. Right. All right. Andy Dalton is not Alex Smith. Right. Patrick Mahomes is definitely not Justin Fields. Right. Okay. All right. It's not going to be that storybook ending, but there is a lot to learn from Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. All right. This guy's been to the playoffs. Okay. Granted, the fucking guy didn't win dick. All right, but he's been there.
I'm looking at now. He's on four, but he's been.
He's been there. All right,
he's on five.
That's more than we can say here in the Chicago Bears over the last 5 years.
Mitch is 0-2.
Yeah. All right, you know what I mean. We've been there. All right, he's been there. But it's the speed of the game. You're talking about Andy Dalton, who's played some of the best fucking defenses in all of football history. Mm-hmm. With the Baltimore, going against the Baltimore Ravens in his division,
mm-hmm.
going against the Cleveland Browns,
the Pittsburgh Steelers,
15 defense,
yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers,
exactly.
Yeah,
all right. Like, those are some top notch defenses. There's a lot to learn from Andy Dalton. So if Andy Dalton can teach this kid, it can teach Justin Fields the speed of the game,
mm-hmm.
the speed of the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh boy, look the fuck out, man.
I think the speed thing is gonna Justin's gonna have to learn it. This is what I think will happen. I say if he's ready playing, but I can see them going into the season with Andy Dalton. And the reason why is this: Andy Dalton has 142 career starts in the NFL.
Right.
142. He's attempted almost 5,000 passes, right? This guy has won 74 games in the NFL, right? So you like to just, you know, the preparation to prepare for a week. Like, Justin Fields has never prepared for an NFL team all week. I say for a short period, him to at least get to watch Andy Dalton, how he prepares week in and week out for an NFL game. Hey, I take this time for rehab. I study. I go over defense. I go over the game plan. I go over my receivers. We go over hot routes. We go over this. We go over that. And just systematically watching. Man, having a guy like Nick Foles who's won a Super Bowl. He has two veteran guys who've been there, done that, and they can show him how to prepare for a game. You know what I mean? How to prepare for an NFL game, prepare for an NFL season. And I think that's valuable. But I don't know how long you can hold him back and keep him on the bench if he's that superior. It might be three, four weeks tops. But I also think Nagy, because I think Justin Fields is so good, he's going to be tempted to put him out there earlier because it's going to make him look better. Because you got a guy that can just do things that nobody else
on your roster can do.
They can do even previously. It's like having a Ferrari. You don't even in the garage.
This is the thing. I think the biggest thing, and I can agree with you guys on this. I can agree with all those points, but the one that I agree with the most is the offensive line coming together. If you got two rookies that's going to go out there, or you got one rookie even, right? And he's protecting the blind side, so that's the most important position, of course. And then you also got guys coming back from injury like James Daniels, Cody Whitehair. You know what I mean? You got these guys coming back to the roster. And you got Mustafa. He has to kind of learn those guys and things like that. And Ifedi. So does that offensive line come together as a unit instead of just individual pieces, right? Do they come together as a unit? If they come together as a unit and they're protecting well, I say put him in. But if it takes them a long time to come together and they don't really come together, communicate and do everything that's needed, then you might want to hold off on putting him in there.
So do we?
But I think that's probably the biggest thing. All that other stuff, I agree with you guys on it, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think that's the issue, offensive line coming together.
And one thing I don't want to see, okay, I mean, you guys, I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing this shit too, where they're between Josh McCown and Jay Cutler, or Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky and Mike Glennon. I don't want to see this quarterback controversy bullshit.
Right.
All right, I just want to see, like, listen, put the guy on there who gives us the best chance to win.
Right.
We all know going into this season, going in right now, Justin Fields has the head up. But Andy Dalton's been there.
Right.
So play Andy Dalton. That's what you brought him here for $10 million.
And like you said, let him get beat up. Let him be the one that gets beat up.
Let him and Nick Foles. If
and that's another thing. Andy Dalton knows how to take an NFL sack.
Yeah.
True.
And not get killed.
Yeah. Or lay out there like he did.
Can you imagine somebody like JPP barreling down on you? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a big dude, but I still don't want that fucking guy to hit me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Andy Dalton has been there. He's taken sacks. He knows what to do with the ball. There's lots of things to learn from Andy Dalton, guys. Right. And it's going to be a learning process for Justin Fields. Right. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. All right, for the first time in a long time,
yes,
I'm actually happy to be a fucking Bear fan.
Yes, sir.
Big time.
Yes,
big
sir.
Time.
All right. I'm not rooting for losses. Now, all that being said, 17 games, we've all seen their opponents this year. I'm still only saying 6 wins.
Yeah, we got the second toughest schedule in the NFL behind the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I'm still only saying 6 wins.
Yeah, same.
All right, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers ain't going nowhere.
That's if he too. I mean, he's holding steadfast and not coming back. And this is the same individual who cut his own fucking family members off.
Hey, he'll be the same individual that comes into Soldier Field once a year and kicks our fucking teeth in.
Possibly.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Listen, I hope not either. But I mean, the record speaks for itself. 18-5.
Yes, it does.
That's why we hoping for a new generation, man. I'm tired of that shit.
And I'm telling you what, I'm buying a Tevin Jenkins jersey before I'm buying a Justin Fields jersey.
Hey, that's what's up. I like that.
Because the linemen don't ever get no love.
Hey, shout out to the big man. Shout out to the big lineman out there.
That's what's up.
Only one ever. Cal Lone, you get his number, bro. His jersey ball.
Now,
7-3, big 7-3.
A lot of faith and trust is going to be put into Juan Castillo.
Yes,
I hope.
Yeah, because I mean, in all honesty, and this is the thing that where everybody was showing this Charles Leno love. It was like, yo, Juan Castillo know what he's dealing with, and he know he's shit. So if he know he's shit, then he's getting rid of the shit. He's flushing the shit down the toilet. Why are you trying to go in the commode and save the shit?
Well,
I'm not
like
understanding that.
It's sentimental. I like it.
Oh, but he's so nice. Who gives a fuck? We trying to win games here. Now, are you a fan of the Bears or are you a fan of fucking Leno? I'm sick of Bears fans doing this shit. It's beyond frustrating to me, and it pisses me the fuck off because too much are we fans of the fucking players. Too much is our fan base a fan of the fucking player. Fuck the player. Be a fan of the fucking team. This A-Rob shit. Oh, pay A-Rob. But he fucking out there loafing. He cost us the game against Detroit. Not knocking him, but it is what it is. He ran out of fucking bounds.
Out of line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Before the first down, loafing. Fucking Anthony Miller punching motherfuckers in the face after they told you not to do it. He's going to bait you. And then you sit there, oh, Anthony Miller's such a good guy. I just want to see him on the Bears. He has so much talent. There's a lot of motherfuckers sitting at home with talent. I'm one of them. You shitting me? Are you shitting me? So you're willing to put him over the fucking fan base? You're willing to put him over the team? We can't win that way.
That's what people are used to, bro. People, like, think about the Bears, dude. Like, they be like, you know, this guy, I'm going to give him one last chance. All these years, that's what they've been doing. They usually don't move on for people like Charles Leno, who are mediocre. They're not bad. They're not good. They're okay. I like them. And they usually just keep them. And now you're dealing with a new thought process.
Right.
Like back in the day, we would have kept Mitch.
Yeah.
We would have talked ourselves, oh, he's not that bad. He's okay. You know, we just keep him. He's a likable guy. And you just keep him. Like, we should have got rid of Rex Grossman before we went to the Super. We should have been passed on.
We should have benched his ass. We should have benched his ass and threw motherfucking Kyle Orton out there when we had the chance to still win the fucking Super Bowl.
We did the same thing with Cutty.
Goddamn right.
We passed on Brett Favre because we had color. Brett Favre wanted to come to Chicago before he went to Minnesota, but we didn't do it because we had color. Nobody else would have done that. They'd have been like, who, a Hall of Famer wants to play quarterback for my team?
Right.
But
I said before, the happiest day of me being a Bears fan would be the day that they let go of Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And that is still, this day, my greatest day as a Chicago Bears fan.
Greatest day. Well, hey, Mike, man.
I am so happy that fucking guy is off this roster. It's not even funny.
Right. Facts.
Who?
Exactly.
Mitch Trubisky.
Exactly. I am so happy that guy is off this team.
Back up for the Buffalo Bills or something?
Yeah, he's going to be riding pine behind Josh Allen for the next 10 years.
Trash.
We got Justin Fields. I don't know. There's a bunch of people bought a bunch of Mr. Biscay Buffalo jerseys. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, they bought the eight. Just to show what type of piece of shit he is. First, he comes out with number 8 in fucking Buffalo and then decides, I'm going to go back to number 10. After everybody fucking bought number 8. What a piece of shit.
No, that was, I mean, that's not his fault, though, man. The other dude that had 10 changed his number when receivers could go to single digits.
Yeah.
So he switched over too, man.
First off, any Buffalo Bills fan who's buying a fucking Mitch Trubisky jersey is possibly a meth head.
It's Bears fans shit.
It's not possible. It definitely meth heads.
It's Bears fans fentanyl. That's buying that shit. Fentanyl. They can't let go. They can't let Mitch go.
They off that fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
They pass meth.
I mean, it makes me sick. It really does. Talking about the whole Mitch situation, it makes me sick.
I have fought with
so many fucking meathead Chicago Bears fans.
Tell me about it.
And I'm just so happy he's gone.
I've been put on Mitch hit list.
He's gone. Yeah,
he's out of here, man. He's out of here.
I don't want to hear no excuses. I don't want to hear none of that, dude. We're dealing with a different element, man. That's what I like about Justin. That's what I like about Tevin.
Justin
it's
Fields,
Tevin Jenkins, baby.
Damn right.
And Tevin Jenkins. And Larry Borum.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
Let's build this pig.
Yeah, man. That's where I'm at, man. That's how I feel. Get the guy ready and let's get ready, dude. Let's get ready to rock. That's how I feel, man. Let's get the line ready. and get the kid up to speed so we can go, man. I'm ready for like explosive offenses. I'm ready for teams putting up 30, 40 points a game. Like, that's what we're dealing with. Like, if fans don't know, if fans don't understand, you are dealing with a quarterback that can lead a team that you ain't playing to, you know, protect him and baby him. And, you know, he can be the reason why you win games.
Absolutely.
He can cover warts.
And all we need is a lead. All we need is a lead. And that I can envision our Bears doing this, playing with the lead and allowing that defense to pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. If we can do that, if Desai can turn that defense loose,
I ain't turn the defense loose. I just need him to light a fire under Robert Quinn.
And Khalil Mack, because I'm telling you guys.
Robert Quinn, No.
And Khalil Mack.
I'm not going.
Ready to rumble.
Listen, look, I understand the love that we have for Khalil Mack, I can't cut a guy any. I can't cut him any slack when you are the fucking guy on the defense. I don't give a damn what goes on the other side.
You tripping if you think Khalil Mack is anything but the MVP of that defense.
We're not saying that. What I'm saying is anybody that
plays well is because of Khalil Mack on that defense.
Okay, well, where the fuck has he been in the big moments?
I'll tell you right now. Khalil Mack relies on the line to create pressure for him to be able to do what he needs to do.
Absolutely. He's not a Lawrence Taylor.
With Akeem Hicks being a fucking muffin top.
Who's Lawrence Taylor, though?
No. Okay. What I'm saying is when they do this comparison about Khalil Mack, he's like Lawrence Taylor. No, the fuck he's not. Okay? He's Khalil Mack.
There is no Lawrence Taylor. Anybody that makes that comparison is an idiot that doesn't really know
football. Yeah, out of their fucking mind. Lawrence Taylor was a whole different breed of person, man.
Yeah,
that was a whole. You got to understand. Lawrence Taylor played high off coke for 90% of his career. He played high off coke 90% of his career. You're not fucking stopping that.
That guy was on the white pony up there.
Right. You're not stopping that.
He was running that shit all day.
You're not stopping that.
He was doing bumps off his wristband in the middle of the huddle.
Absolutely.
All right.
But see,
I'm pretty sure his wristband was made of cocaine.
But this is what pisses me off though, because you got cats like T.J. Watt out here getting, you know, 16, 17, 18 sacks in a fucking season. And they know he coming. So he's facing the same fronts off that offensive line.
Don't forget he also had Bud Dupree up.
And that's what I'm saying.
You gotta create pressure.
Khalil Mack.
Pressure. Go ahead, Dan.
Khalil Mack got no. I mean, what did Robert Quinn have? Two sacks last year, bro.
That's your other rusher.
And then you also got to think about it like this. The Bears, with that stupid defensive coordinator that we had.
Chuck Pagano. They weren't playing to his needs.
If you Lawrence Taylor, did they drop him back?
No, hell no.
He need to be rushing the passer every play.
They turned him loose every play.
So when you have a guy who's great at rushing the passer, why would you drop him in the coverage?
Yeah.
You're dropping him in the coverage half the time. Look at Khalil Mack's numbers compared to what he was in
Oakland. Yeah.
And it's totally different because of that scheme. So when you take away half of the time,
he can rush the quarterback
times,
right?
And he only rushes 30 times,
right?
Come on, man, that don't even make sense, right, bro.
I just need him to be a force. That's all.
I feel you.
What you said earlier, to play with a lead, all right?
Yep.
That sparks something in my mind here. If the Bears can play with a lead and risk a blitz.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. That's where you'll see Khalil Mack shine this year. That's where all defenses shine, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he is that caliber of player, mm-hmm. where he is the guy that's going to be able to get to the quarterback. But he also needs somebody like Akeem Hicks or Goldman.
Goldman coming back.
Woo! Yeah, big Goldman. Yeah, big EG.
Yeah, and then you also got Nichols. You also re-signed Nichols.
He goes back to his original spot, yeah.
Exactly. Another big signing by the Bears, guys. So I expect Khalil Mack to come back this year and kick ass.
I do too.
Need, You need these guys to stay healthy. You need Akeem Hicks to draw the Eddie double Goldman. Team on. Exactly. You need Eddie Goldman.
On the other side, right. You need somebody on the other side.
You need Robert Quinn
exactly.
And I know they said he had some injuries or something. So
yeah, I saw a report that saying he had a foot injury all year last year after preseason game 3.
Damn.
Yeah, right, this is the thing with the defense, and this is why I'm saying this all ties back. This is why it's important. The Bears are scoring 17 points a game, right? You ain't no threat. The defense has to play conservative. You have to play this shell. You can't take that many risks because if you give up a big play, you're done. Remember how we felt like when the Bears would score? I'm going to take you back to the Green Bay game in 2019, the opener. Mm. We lost that game, 10-3?
Yeah.
And people keep talking about Deion Bush blew that assignment. Bro, we gave up 10 points to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you couldn't beat him. And we're talking about the blown coverage by our safety. Bro, you should not be just scoring 3 points a game. Like, if we got a team with a legit quarterback, legit weapons, hog mauls on offensive line, we should be scoring 25, 30 points a game. And if we need to score 40, we need to score 40. That's what Justin Fields is. Did you see what he did versus Clemson in the college playoffs? That's what you need. You need a guy like that with playmakers in a line, in a running game, that allows the defense to play with their ears pinned back. They can take a few more chances because they know the offense can score.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It still comes down to Matt Nagy, and the reason it comes down to Matt Nagy is because he's got to be more balanced in his play calling. You got to run the ball, like you said. We had David Montgomery. He ran the ball. He was number 5 in the league in rushing last year, right? Mm-hmm. And you would never know that because there were games where he only got 6 carries.
Right.
5 carries.
Yep.
Stuff like that. That should never, ever happen in the NFL, especially when you got a young work dog back there. Like, he's 23 years old. Let the boy run the ball. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Matt Nagy, he needs to get out of his own way, man. If we can be balanced on offense, then we'll be all right. That's the biggest thing, though. You should go out there and you should be, even if you sucked, even if you suck bad, you should go out there and be able to score 10 points by accident, bro. That's one touchdown.
We got the lines open. We got people that want to
fall into 10 points, right?
Oh, you want to chime in?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, man. We appreciate you coming, man. You've been here for like 45 minutes, 40, you know. But I know I told you like 15, 20 minutes, so I appreciate
you. We appreciate you, man.
I had a blast talking with you guys, man. I had a blast.
No doubt, man. Round of applause for Fab Mike. Round of applause for Fab Mike, no doubt.
Hey, Mike, let them know where they can check you out at and give them your Twitter handle, too, man.
Yeah. You guys can check me out at Fat Mike Chicago. Fat Mike, one word, space Chicago. And check out all our podcasts at 1252 Sports. 1252_sports. And that's it, man. We got a bunch of podcasts on here. We have a bunch of great guests all the time. Obviously, we have you, Dan. You guys will be a part of it soon, I'm sure. And, thanks for having me, guys. I really do appreciate it.
No doubt.
Thanks for taking out the time, bro.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
You guys take care, man.
All right, now.
All right, no doubt.
Peace.
So we got people calling in?
Yeah, I guess we got some people that want to call. So let's see what we got going. Let's see what we got going here. We got some callers.
Lucas Perfetti wanted to call in.
All right.
Tell him we opening the lines now.
All right. So let him know we got the lines open. And we're definitely, the lines are open so they can start calling in. And, take a couple before we get up out of here, you know.
You need to tell your brother to call in, Roy.
Yeah, I need to hit him up. Let me hit him up. Yeah, man. This Justin Fields thing got me hyped, man. Like, the whole thing with Nagy, like, I'm a chill. Just, like, I kind of chill with Pace with the draft. I was like, let me just see what he does. You know what I mean? Because it's a game changer, man. When you got the horses.
No doubt. I think we got a hold of Lucas right here. Hold on, let me see. Lucas.
Okay.
What's up, Kings?
What's going on, man?
What's up, baby?
How you doing, gentlemen?
All right. How about yourself?
I can't complain, dude. I'm just actually catching up on some Justin Fields. I'm watching the Nebraska game right now.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You're like me, man.
Dude throws missiles. Every game you play. Different feel. I was actually talking about it on our little thing that you know, it's a completely different vibe. Like, you think about 2017, you got Adam Shaheen and Mitchell Trubisky, which you guys know I didn't have a problem with Mitch. I thought we didn't do him any justice, but this is a whole different animal. Just a different ball game with Justin Fields. The ball just pops off his hands.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like Mitch is cool. Like, it's like a Honda Accord with the V6. It's like, oh, this is cool. And then you get behind a Z06 Corvette and you're like, oh, oh okay.
Totally different.
This is different. I'm doing a $160, you know, and I'm barely pressing the gas, and that's what it feels like, man. So it's a very exciting time right now, man, to be a Bear fan.
No doubt. Folks, if you want to call in with the Three Kings, you can reach us at 586. Oh,
745.
There we go.
05-12.
I had a brain fart for a minute. 586-745-0512.
You were thinking about Justin Field highlights, man.
Yeah, man. No doubt. But we appreciate Lucas for calling in, man. Folks, we're going to have phone lines open for another probably about 10 minutes. Y'all go ahead and call in. 586-745-0512. Send that wave out on Twitter. Let folks go ahead and see what's going on. That, once again, folks, that's 586-745-0512. You want to rock with the Three Kings, shoot us your comments, your love, your hate, whatever you got. We taking the calls right now. We got the phone lines are open.
And remember, you ain't got to agree with us. You ain't got to agree with us. We're gonna listen to everybody's point of view. That was one of the reasons why we had Fat Mike on, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I took it, when I first read his tweet, I was like, whoa, dude's on something else. Like, what you mean you're not happy to get Justin Fields? But then when he broke it down, now I completely understand. You know what I mean? I completely understand.
Absolutely.
So.
My thing is that, man, this is huge, man. This is huge. Just the interaction and everything else that we got going on with the fans. This is huge, man. This is like Bear euphoria, you know?
Yeah.
Bear euphoria, no doubt.
Yeah. It's a total different vibe than it was, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right? 3-4 weeks ago, I mean, it was – we didn't really have that much to talk about, bro.
No doubt.
Y'all want to do a pod today? All right, man. We'll do a pod, man. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was points during the season where it was just low, man. It was like, here we go. What are we going to talk about? They ain't doing this. They ain't doing that. We suck at this. We suck at that. You know? And then you didn't have any hope. So it was crazy to all of a sudden, you know, you get all this hope with Justin Fields, man. You know?
Right. Right.
And I'm telling people, go online and watch these breakdowns, watch these interviews, get a feel for this cat. Cause I see it's like Bear fans are like, you know, when people have a bad relationship and they get a new one and they put the bad relationship on the new person. Mm-hmm. I see a little bit of that going on. So I'm all about Josh McCown. Like, bro, this ain't Josh McCown, bro. This ain't Jim Harbaugh. This ain't Rex Grossman. This ain't Mitch Trubisky. This is a whole nother ball game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I'm so high. That's why I like the guy so much. Like, he's a guy. I think to mess up a guy like Justin Fields, you got to be pretty messed up. Yeah. Your organization has to be pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Because he's so good. He's so resilient. He's so smart. He adapts. He adjusts. It takes a lot to ruin him. You know,
if anybody can do it, Nagy can do it. I'm just saying,
I don't even know. I see. Like, it's things I don't like about Nagy, but that part I don't like. Like I said, my thing with Nagy is his situational play calling at times just baffles me. Now the part, like, I've seen guys running wide open and like he just hasn't had either the protection or the quarterbacks.
Right. Okay. So I get that. I get what you're saying there, right? And I get what you're saying that he schemes people open because DeVoria said it. You say it.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest problem with Nagy is that he just falls in love with just throw. And then the other part that I don't like about him is that he tries to tailor this offense completely after Kansas City. Stop trying to remake Kansas City. Be your own offense. Create your own dynamic players, you know what I mean, with the players that you have. That's my problem with him. I don't want to recreate Kansas City. I don't want to look out there and say, okay, Kansas City, what would they do in this situation? Oh, they're going to run this stupid little underneath thing to Travis Kelce. Let's see if we could do it. No, that's not what I want to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The plays that he runs is he's just biting the plays off of Kansas
City. That's his tree.
And that's bogus, bro.
That's his tree.
I mean, that's fine. It's fine to have that as your tree, but you still have to develop your own offense, your own sense of your offense.
The thing about it is like, let's say if the thing about the Andy Reid system, and it's always been the case. Like, I mean, you know, we all watch football. Even when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, he would get ire from Philadelphia Eagle fans about he would get pass happy. That's some of that is what they do. And he did adjust a little bit at the end of the year, but he's going to Matt Nagy, like it, not like it. And we're about to see it right now. And that's the second part. He is going to, even if he adapts like he did last year with the bootlegs and the sprint outs, and you probably see a little bit of that. But if Justin Fields can run that offense, eventually the way he wants to run it, he's going to run it like that, because that's the tree he's come from. That's that Doug Peterson.
I get it, man.
That's what they do.
You got 70 snaps on offense, man. I don't need 57 of them to be passes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
57 out of 70 is not that, – that's ain't nobody going to win doing that. I'm just being real. Nobody – Kansas City ain't that lopsided, bro. Nobody is.
I ain't saying he should keep being pass happy. And I think I don't have the numbers right now in front of me, but I don't think their running numbers were like, he wasn't lowest in the league. I'm pretty sure he was like in the top 10 as far as running the ball. So it's not like he's not running because he has periods.
Well, you gotta take away from when Lazor started calling plays and just factor in Nagy when he's doing it. When he's doing it, I guarantee you they run the ball less than 35%. Guarantee. It's not even 60-40.
Well, the best Lazor's role is Lazor. Well, he is the run game coordinator, isn't he? Or Juan Castillo is.
I don't know.
I mean, if they keep them balanced, that's fine.
I'm just not confident in them. I mean, I know I'm probably harder than anybody on Matt Nagy, but I don't see the genius that other people see in him.
I don't think he's a genius. I think that ship is sailed, you know, as far as him being a genius. But like I said, the thing with me is that you want to see what Matt Nagy is. You really want to see what he is. Like, you got the quarterback, you got the tackle, you got receivers, you got speed. We signed Bird. We signed Goodwin. We got Mooney. Tariq Cohen's coming back. You got speed. They ain't big guys, but Kansas City don't have big guys. You know, not a lot of wide receivers. They don't have a bunch of 6'4", 6'5", guys out there. They got fast guys that catch the ball in stride with a quarterback. They can hit them in stride and pick up yards after the catch. So, in my opinion, in the next year or two, you're going to see.
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be interesting. I hope it works out. I don't have excuses.
Because Justin Fields is legit.
Yeah, he's legit, but, you know, he's legit. I hope it works out, man. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not wishing for it to fail or anything like that, but I'm just, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see.
I hope
it works out, man. I really do. I was high on Nagy, and I think that's the problem. I was high on Nagy at the beginning of last season, mm-hmm. or even 2019, actually, because I felt like he put some youth in some, you know what I mean? He was doing some different things, but, man, when you just do the same thing over and over, it runs me, man. I don't like it.
I view 19 like he had 18. And it was cool because he was doing all this cool stuff.
Right.
In 19, like I said, I think he wanted or believed that Mitch was going to take that next step. Mitch didn't take the next step, and his failure, and this that was on Mitch, and the part with Nagy was that Nagy failed to adjust once he realized or didn't realize that Mitch couldn't take that next step. And that's the fault I put on Nagy. I heard Lewis Riddick basically say the same thing on Waddle's Liberty Day that I had been saying. That's my issue with Matt Nagy, is that once you realize Mitch ain't going to be nothing like Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. You say, okay, this ain't working. Let's flip the script. And he kept trying to do that. And so 2020, he pared down the offense, but it killed him. And the first moment he got to yank that dude, he yanked him.
Right.
And then he had to put him back in, and then he had to pare down the offense. So I'm thinking, like, that dude has to be happy because he's like, I got tackles that can block, or I believe they can block, and I got a quarterback who I hand-selected who's legit. And, you know, and that's why I said I don't think he's going to be patient enough to just say I'm going to sit Justin Fields for, you know, half the season or the whole season. He can talk all the Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes crap he want to. This ain't the same dynamic because I think Kansas City went 11-5 the year before, and Alex Smith was an incumbent. He had been there 5 years before Pat Mahomes got there.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes is kind of raw, so it's not the same. It's not the same dynamic, man.
Hey, let me ask y'all this question though. The other draft picks, like that cornerback we got, what y'all think about him? Have y'all looked into him? Any?
I haven't even got to him that much. I don't me know if either. You have yet or not. Yeah.
Me either.
I looked at him, man, and he's a pretty big dude, man. He's like 6 foot, I think like 200 pounds. You might be able to. They might be able to transition him into a strong safety, man. He hits hard too.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, he hits hard, causes some fumbles, turnovers, and stuff like that. So I mean, if you know, I don't know. They drafted him in the sixth round. I'm thinking that might be what they drafted him for, not for actual cornerback.
Yeah, like a lot of people.
I'm thinking to move him into safety.
Yeah, I got to get to him. The last, you know, I've been on Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, and then I went on Larry Broome. So, yeah, I'm going to probably check him out. I think I got some stuff, you know, bookmarked for him. And the running back we drafted, Khalil Herbert, right?
Yeah.
Yep. He's fast, too. He ran like a 4.4. Yeah, and we've seen him getting some running back.
Yeah, he definitely has home run ability, man. So that backfield is loaded. You know, it's going to be running back by committee. But it looked like we're definitely going to have a solid 1-2 punch, you know, with Khalil Herbert, you know what I'm saying, and Demo. And then, of course, you know what I'm saying, we got my man from Kansas City coming in. That's a dual threat, you know what I'm saying, because Demo really ain't no receiver out the backfield. You know, but, you know, so we got, you know, whoever the hell, I can't think of his name for the life of me, from Kansas City.
And oh, Damian
Williams and Tariq Cohen. Those are receivers out of the backfield. And then, of course, you know, Khalil Herbert and Demo is the bruisers coming out the backfield. So it's going to be running back by committee, but it's definitely a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Tariq Cohen too. He's gonna be getting paid out that slot, you know. And I can see, you know, them trying to get running backs for insurance just in case, you know, Tariq takes a little bit to get back in form. But all these running backs too, and this offensive line, that's telling me something too. Like, we're talking about Nagy not running the ball.
Hold on, fellas. I think we got Lucas.
Why are you getting
back?
These running backs?
I think we got Lucas back. Let me see. Lucas, you there?
I'm here, man.
All right, all right, all right.
There
right
we go. On.
All right, so how we
talking
doing?
About running
jumping
backs,
in
man.
The middle here. What y'all talking about right now? Just Justin Fields being the GOAT?
Just we can talk about that all day.
we was talking about that all day. But we was talking about the 1-2 punch here that we got with Demo, and then, of course, Khalil Herbert in the backfield. And then, you know, as the bruisers. And then, of course, we got Tariq and, you know, we got Damian Williams as the dual threat backs in the backfield.
I actually am. I mean, it's kind of crazy because you think about it. Even when Jordan Howard was around, I mean, we had Jordan Howard, Tariq, and Benny Cunningham for a couple of years. But Benny, you know, Benny was at the back half of his career there. So this is the most well put together running back room I've seen in a while. And I don't even know if they're gonna have space for everybody. But it's just a nice change to actually. As much as I like Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, he's not a running back. And I feel like really no one has unlocked Cordarrelle Patterson and his talent. He's a big, strong, fast dude. He brings a fucking load when you can get him into space, but he's just not very elusive. He's a straight line runner, and that's why he's so good as a kick returner. But to me, it's like this is the first time they actually have a full running back room where if Monty went down last year, who would we have had? You know, at least at this point, like we got a couple dudes. And even that kid from Coastal Carolina, I think, is going to shock some people because I watched him a lot, actually. I'm kind of a degenerate. I like to gamble a lot. Coastal Carolina was like my little wagon that could. Kid was a baller, dude. I mean, I know he's a UDFA and he's probably going to be a practice squad dude, but I actually feel really comfortable with this running back room.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we're four deep at the running back position, you know, and then, of course, with the undrafted free agent from Coastal Carolina, we're five deep. Five deep. Not to mention, and we still got Artavius Pierce.
Yeah. And that kid was decent, too. He showed a couple flashes.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, I really think you focus on those top three, and we're in a really good spot. People are, like, kind of sleeping on Damian Williams. I know he didn't get a ton of carries, mm-hmm. but down that playoff stretch, man, the dude, they called him, you know, he was playoff Damian before there was a playoff Lenny. I mean, absolutely. The dude was balling down the stretch.
And, you know, one of the good things is that we don't have to worry about Ryan Nall. Who the fuck is
that? Yeah, yeah. He's kind of like in that Thomas Ives category, that Tanner Gentry, just a complete training camp hero. The couple times I have gone to training camp, Ryan Nall did play well. But, nah, I'm done with that experiment as well.
I believe we all are. Yeah, I was over it last year.
Like, don't even get mad.
Everyone was, and that's what I'm saying. Now, like, if someone does go down or we have a couple injuries, we don't need to use a guy like Ryan Nall. And that's the overall great feeling. And Ryan Nall was someone I was kind of hoping because, you know, Kansas City will use a fullback. So that's one thing I don't understand why Nagy just doesn't want anything to do with the fullback. Michael Burton, we had our most productive rushing season with, you know, Michael Burton as Nagy as his head coach. So I just feel like I wouldn't mind trying to transition him to a fullback, but there's no reason he should be toting the rock regularly.
I agree.
Yeah, I think I heard Olin Cruz, they got their podcast, and somebody mentioned, I don't know, putting him at Ryan Nall at fullback, and all it was Jason McKee. They like, hell no.
Am I losing y'all again?
No, you're here.
Oh, okay,
yeah, they didn't want him there. I think it was Jason McKee. He's like, don't put that dude at fullback. He's basically saying he can't play fullback.
Yeah, but I actually wanted to get your guys' take on this Charles Leno thing because a lot of people are giving him a lot of hate. And don't get me wrong, he's not good. He's not a difference maker by any means. But, you know, I don't mind seeing him get sent away, but I want the Bears to replace a tackle or at least get a veteran tackle and use that money because it's just like, we just made a big-time investment in Justin Fields, and the last thing I want to do is have a guy like Tevin Jenkins go down and then be scrambling. You know what I mean? We're really thin at that position, and it makes me a little bit worried.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you know, we'll be able to get somebody. We'll be able to get a veteran in here. Tevin Jenkins is going to be a stud, though. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about him stepping in for Charles Leno at all, not one bit. I think Charles Leno, he was soft, man. He was a marshmallow guy from my point of view. Nice guy, you know what I mean? Did stuff for the community. All that is good, you know what I mean? But at $9 million, it just doesn't make sense to continue to have him on the roster when you got a young stud. And this dude is truly – like we got him at 39, Lucas, right? We got him at pick 39 in the second round. He was slated to go in the first round, around 20. A lot of people mocked the Bears picking him at 20. So the fact that we got Justin Fields and then we turned around and we got him, man, you couldn't ask for anything better. And then we also got, you know, the swing tackle. You know, we also still have Ifedi. We got Ifedi. We still got Bars. Bars could slide over and play a tackle position if we need him to.
So Wilkerson.
We got Wilkerson. We still got some people in there, some guys in there that we could put into the game. I don't think Charles Leno is not going to be a detriment to this team at all. I think we're going to move forward, actually.
Yeah. Like, I think probably one of the reasons why Jenkins probably didn't go in the first like he should have, he was supposed to play left tackle, but I guess the right tackle got hurt. And so he moves to the right side because the young guy they put at the left tackle didn't know how to play right tackle at all. And Jenkins had that flexibility, so he just moved to the right. But if you listen to his interview, he said, yeah, I've been training for the left all offseason.
Right.
All offseason. So And he has snaps. He's played several games at the left tackle, man. And he dominated on the left just like he did on the right. I think that dude's just awesome. But yeah, adding depth, you know, I'm all about that because you do worry about, you know, guys going down, things like that. But if you lose a stud left tackle, usually ain't no replacing them. You kind of just gotta adapt. Exactly. But Leno was nice, man, but he didn't move the line. And the Bears want to be mean and nasty up front. And I ain't mad at it.
Me, I'm happy. He had to go. This needed to be done. This absolutely needed to be done. I mean, do you trust him blocking for Justin Fields blindside? No. Our quarterback would be just like Joe Burrow. You know, you see that big ass cut on his knee? Filthy. Disgusting. Do I want that for, you know, do I want that for our quarterback? Hell no. I want his blindside to be protected. I want his front side to be protected. I want him to be the least sacked quarterback of the year for a very, very long time. We got a lot of big, nasty, mean bastards up front now. And I think Juan Castillo knew that, you know, we had a marshmallow on the left side. Well, we had a marshmallow on the right side, and we had baby shit on the left side. Soft as baby shit. That's what he was. So, you know, I mean, it was so bad that there were times where we would watch Leno literally block no one, right along with Rashad Coward, block no one, literally block no one. People, they would run right past him, run right past him. Tampa Bay game, for instance, the Rams game for damn sure. It was just ugly, man. It was ugly. So, yeah, it was a necessary need, a necessary move that needed to be done, and I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is I just want to see him get replaced because I'm not going to say your descriptions are inaccurate. And to be honest, like, Charles Leno thrived a lot more in that Adam Gase type system, Dow Loggins, where it was a lot more combo blocks and getting to the next level, which it's something he actually does well. He's able to combo block and get to the next level. But without someone, I mean, really, we saw his play dramatically increase, and it could be because of the lack of the defenses they faced. But also, I think when you plug Cody Whitehair next to him or someone that's a solid piece next to him, then he's not a liability. And you can't pay $9 million or whatever it was, $11 million for someone to not be a liability. But his durability is something that I appreciated. And like you said, you know, if Tevin Jenkins goes down, that's what I'm worried about is we're thin at the position. So we need someone durable to be able to come in and step in. Right. Because Justin Fields is the type of dude where he's more than willing to hang in the pocket and get drilled before he fucking makes a big play. You know what I mean? He has no problem standing in there to the last second. And that's just kind of – at this point, it's like, are we really a Super Bowl contender? I don't know. I don't believe so this year. I think it's going to take one more offseason and that cap jump for us to really get there. But if Aaron Rodgers leaves, there's no doubt we can take over this division. There's no doubt about it. So for me, it's just like I'd rather overinvest on offense – and lose a little bit on defense this year just because of this investment we made.
Yeah, I mean, I get you. I get your point, man. It's a valid point because, you know, Leno has been durable, right? And they always say the best ability is availability, right? Being available, not playing, not being hurt and, you know, sidelined with some type of injury. So he's been really good when it comes to that. And, you know, and that's cool, man. It's nothing wrong with that at all. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from. We do probably need to add some depth, and they probably will. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of money available to do something with, and we'll see what happens, man. But I'm sure they'll add some piece. It won't be a starter, but it'll be some swing player or, you know, whatever the case may be.
There's actually decent tackles left. I think Villanueva just signed with the Ravens, but I think, like, Wagner's available. It's been, like, dudes that can start. We probably won't get those type of guys, but I can see them adding something. You know, well, I would hope they would add something. And Ryan Pace has been, like, knocking it out of the park so far this offseason, so hopefully they bring in another guy that can add some depth that we feel a little bit better. Because, like, Wilkerson is there, but Wilkerson didn't play that well, you know, in Denver, and I think he's more of a right side guy. So I can see them doing something, man. So I'm going to just be patient because I was patient and waited to see what they were going to do in the draft, and they didn't let me down. So, you know, you get a little bit more rope from me. You know, you draft Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah. Man, I had a question. I got a question for you guys, though, man. What do you think about the Daz Newsome situation, right? Him coming in. And there was been a lot of talk about, oh, he's not that fast and so on and so forth. What do y'all think? What do y'all think about that? I know we touched on it a little bit, but you know what I mean? I know DeVore had a lot to say about that on Twitter.
Dude is legit fast. 4.38. And you can see it. You can see him hit a whole nother gear in the Syracuse game. Kid is fast, man.
He didn't test well, but anytime you watch him in a punt return, he can – I mean, no one's catching him if they get behind him. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So, I mean, I'm in the minority here. I'm a big Anthony Miller fan. I know, you know, people want to – I don't know. I feel like it's people that never really got in the heat of the moment and took a swing at someone, but – I think Anthony Miller can be a star in this league, a big time number two, second option in the slot. I just think, again, it's just stylistically, he doesn't fit with Matt Nagy. He's an improv player. He likes to be improvisational. And I think that's can actually help him with Justin Fields, because Justin Fields has no problem extending the play and launching it down the field. So while I like Daz Newsome, if they're going to keep Miller, I think he's going to be the one to get the majority of the snaps at the slot.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I don't know, Lucas. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I don't think he's gonna make it.
I think he'll make it.
I don't think he's gonna make it to camp.
I think there's a lot of dudes there, right?
And if McCaskey really is that fed up with Anthony Miller taking a swing or whatever, then it is what it is. But I think someone else is gonna find a gem with him. You know what I mean? And to be honest, our guy, Buckus Stats, you guys know him. He's got the dog as a profile picture. He puts out a lot of threads about different trends and stuff. He's a real good follow. But he was talking about, he was like, hey, don't sleep on Tariq Cohen and how he used to work from the slot. Like him coming back healthy, that can be a big play right there.
Yeah, and with Tariq Cohen in the slot, which is why I think that's going to be the end of an Anthony Miller. They don't need him.
No, they don't. But I don't think they'll be $700,000 on him, you know? I don't know. I think if you're going to cut between Wims, I think you got to go with Wims.
I don't think it'll be the end of Anthony Miller. I think Wims will be gone before Anthony Miller.
I do too.
I think Anthony Miller,
they're both gone.
He got 1 year. It's only 1 year left. So
he's cheap.
Do you want to, or is he good enough to be a fourth wide receiver on the roster?
Fifth.
That's what he, you know.
Fifth after the Demaryius Bird pickup.
But DeVore, I mean, I'm not going.
I just wanted to know if we could officially call him Dirty Bird, because I really like that nickname.
Dirty Bird. Hey, you got to earn it. If he comes
like,
here,
that a thing. Just call him the Dirty Bird, and that's someone actually. He actually made some plays, and Cam Newton, his best years are behind him. But I feel like anytime Cam Newton really got into a bind, he was thrown to Dirty Bird, and I feel like actually that was one of the. I like that pickup a lot more than I do the Marquise Goodwin pickup.
Yeah, I think the dude ran a 4.43 or something.
4.28.
I don't know if he looks that fast on the field. You know how that, like we were just saying that with Daz Newsome, he looks fast on the field.
That dude dropped balls, man. I'm not. Damir Bird is okay. He's very fast, but he dropped some terrible balls. You look at some of his film, bro. The drops that he had, stuff right in his hands. So if you're mad about Anthony Miller dropping balls, you're gonna be mad about Damir Bird doing the same thing. But he's gonna be wide open when he do it. Not like Anthony Miller, where you know. He's not, you know, he's right next to somebody. Yeah. Daz Newsome, the problem with Daz Newsome, I'm not going to elevate him and put him ahead of Anthony Miller right now. The problem with him is that, and I mentioned it, Roy, to you, what was it, a couple days ago?
Yeah.
He catches with his body, bro. Look at all of his catches. He doesn't snatch the ball out of the air. He catches with his body every single time. You can't do that in the NFL. So he's going to have to figure out that situation real quickly. Otherwise, he won't get on the field because he'll be getting popped, he'll get hit, and the ball is going to be jarred loose every single time. You got to snatch the ball with your hands. He got to do better at that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be a battle, and that's what I wanted. Like, I felt like if you weren't going to completely move on from Anthony Miller, get a clear upgrade, you just bring in a bunch of competition. You have him fight it out. Like, I think he'll be back. He'll be back in camp because he does have talent. I do like Anthony Miller, but they seem to be low on him. And the thing about him being using his improvisation skills is that Matt Nagy's offense requires it to be like, boom, you got to be here. And if you can't trust a guy and expect him to be where he's supposed to be, you know, you got an issue. Maybe that might change when you get a guy like Justin Fields in here, who's going to demand that you be where you're supposed to be. And that's the way it's going to be, dude, because I'm QB1. You be at this spot where I'm supposed to throw the ball. And that's it, period, end of discussion, dude. You ain't getting snaps. So maybe that might change. Maybe all these guys being signed lights a fire under his ass, and he finally goes out and puts in the work and does what he has to do to be the player he can be. But right now he hasn't taken that step. And that's been disappointing for me because, like, I've defended him. I'm like, hey, Anthony Miller's a baller, man. But I can't keep saying he's a baller and he doesn't ball. He just hasn't done it.
Right. You know?
That's the only issue. So, you know, we've been hoping for him to turn it on and turn it around. You know, he's going into his fourth year, right? This is last year.
Fourth year.
He's a free agent, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been hoping for him to turn it around or whatever, whatnot. It's just, you know, he has to get mentally mature. He has to become more headstrong. You know, if a game is on the line, a close game is on the line, you know, is he going to put himself first or is he going to put the team first? You know, because now the verdict is out on him. He's mentally weak. And the rest of the NFL know, those DBs know, okay, well, do something to get him sparked up. Do something to get him riled up. You know, and he's going to cost the Bears in a very, very, very critical situation. You know, and even as a coach, can you put him out there in them type of situations, or do you just sit him down? And that is why he ended up losing his spot to a fifth round wide receiver. So, you know, it comes to that point where you're in a situation where, you know, what's best for the team and what's best for moving forward. And right now, you know, and as it stands, Anthony Miller is not best for the team. So,
yeah, and I totally understand that point that you guys are making about, like, you know, him. It was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. He knows he shouldn't have done it. It was in a big spot. That was the second time in a big spot where he made a stupid decision that really hurt the team. But I kind of also understand his frustration. Like, you're not scoring on that offense last year. You know what I mean? Like, you're not coming back against New Orleans. You got this guy talking shit to you the whole time. Like, my, you know, I understand why he took a crack. Was it right? No. But I kind of get it. And before I hang up, I'm going to let you guys go and finish listening to the show. But my biggest thing is, like, we do have a track team on offense.
Absolutely.
It all comes down to the bald man. If Matt Nagy wants to run the show, I mean, he wants a very structured offense and, you know, half field reads, this and that. Like, we know he didn't adjust to Mitch. And even though Mitch isn't the prospect that Justin Fields is, by even any stretch of the imagination, he had trouble adjusting his offense to Mitchell Trubisky. And I think we need to see that happen more so. If we're watching throws short of the sticks when you have four guys that are running sub 4.4 40s and we're throwing, it's a 3rd and 7 and we're throwing a 5-yard dig route, that we're going to know very quickly who the problem was last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hey, Lucas, no doubt, man. We appreciate Matt. You calling in, man. Thanks for being a part of the show. You know, definitely give you a round of applause, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for dropping.
Yeah, I appreciate
Thanks
you
for rocking with
well.
The Three Kings, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care of yourself, gentlemen.
All right, you too.
All right, bro.
Yep.
He made some sense with that statement about Nagy, man. It comes down to that bald head dude, man.
No doubt.
If he's gonna call the game different, if he learned anything, right? I'm not saying you got to be completely different, but there's some stuff that you got to do differently, and you got to really cater to your guys' talents, man.
Well, see, the thing is, this is why I said is, like, no excuses. Unless Tevin Jenkins come out and he just is completely bad. Like a Fetty plays 6 games, and I'm actually going to go through and I'm going to post some clips throughout the week.
You see Redman like my retweet. That's what's up. My dog Red.
Oh, hey, he did the same thing. He retweeted it.
Yeah, my dog Red.
From Redman. Shout out to Redman.
Shout out to Redman. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the homie. He come out to
shout
Pontiac
out to
all the time and rock out there.
That song is tight.
That song is bars. Yeah. I worked out to it today.
That joint.
That's
there,
why I'm
man.
Like, oh yeah.
That dude got it, man.
Yeah, he still got it. He's
still
a spitter.
Got it. Still
y'all
got
spitter.
It.
Y'all see the that versus they had with him and Method Man?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were just rocking
you
out.
See,
dude.
You see his shirt? He had the Eminem verse. It go yeah. Reggie, Jay-Z, yeah. Tupac, then Biggie.
Yeah.
I was dying laughing.
Yeah. Yes.
It was cold though.
Still got it, man. So, fellas, Way to wrap up the week, man. What a hell of a show we had. You know what I'm saying? Give a round of applause to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? That was a hell of a show we had.
Yeah.
And folks, you listening, Lucas. We had Fat Mike. We had Lucas rocking with us. Folks, if y'all listening, look, we adding a new dynamic to the show. So y'all can call in 586-745-0512. Rock with us. Rock with us, baby. We'll let you know before we go on air. You know what I'm saying? Probably about 30 minutes before we go on air, would it be a good time to call? You know what I'm saying? We'll rock with you. We get it in. As you can see, hey, we had people call in today. That was great. And it's live. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely live. So, parting shots, fellas. What y'all got?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. We were saying, like, we were talking about Nagy. Like we said, it was in Pace's lane, right? What were you going to do? How are you going to fix this roster and build a team? I think Nagy got the ingredients to prepare the meal. Like I believe that Andy Dalton was a slight upgrade over what we had, just a slight. And I think Justin Fields is eons. Like we're dealing with a Lamborghini right now, bro. Like Tevin Jenkins is a Lamborghini left tackle. So you basically took Mitch Trubisky and Charles Leno, and then you replaced them with Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, man.
Yes, sir.
You added a bunch of speed to this roster.
Yes,
the
sir.
Defense is still intact. Goldman's coming back. Reek's coming back. Daniel's coming back. I don't want to hear no excuses. Like the catering to the team. Like you don't have to. You have elite talent.
Yes, sir.
Ball. I don't want to see no. Like I believe that Nagy was running a lot of mirror routes, like for curls, because I think Mitch just couldn't process that information. I don't think you have that excuse anymore. So if I see that now, okay, I got a problem. Because if you actually go back and watch the Kansas City stuff when he had Alex Smith, he wasn't doing that then. Yeah, he got a little cute and he lost that Tennessee game, but he wasn't running four curl routes. So I don't expect to see that. You know, it's a thread up. I got to check it out where somebody was posting the stuff he was running in Kansas City when he had Alex Smith. Towards the end, when was that? 2017? And I'm going to check it out. But he wasn't running that stuff. So I might actually go back and watch the 2017 Chiefs offense at the end of the year, because I expect that's what Matt Nagy should be running with the talent that he has now. I don't want to see some foolishness. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where I am. No excuses.
Yeah, I agree. I think my parting shot, man, is going to be I'm a piggyback off of you, Roy. I seen this from you. You posted on Twitter how young the Bears are.
Mm-hmm.
On offense, man. We got, you know, these guys are, we talking about young. Our oldest guy on a offensive skill position is what, Allen Robinson? 27?
Yeah.
Everybody's under that. 24, yeah. 23, 22. You know what I mean? David Montgomery, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields, 22. I mean, we got a young team. So if we can put this stuff together, if Nagy, Pace can put this stuff together and really make this thing work and the team comes together, man, the Bears can be solid for the next 7 to 10 years, man, without really, you know, having to move too many pieces around. You know what I mean? Even on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think you posted nothing about that. But I looked at the defensive side of the ball. We're young over there too. Mm-hmm. We're not old. You know what I mean?
Up in a few spots.
Well, Lyle Nichols, 23, 20, you know what I mean? 24.
Roquan Smith,
23. You know what I mean? We got
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson. Young guys, man. So, you know, we got a couple of spots that's a little older, like Danny Trevathan, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Getting a little longer than
Akeem Hicks.
Akeem Hicks, you know what I mean? Even Robert Quinn is 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 30. Khalil Mack is 30, so we got a lot of young pieces, man, and we can be good for a long time to come.
Well, all right. I mean, my parting shot is I'm excited, and I haven't been excited for a very long time to see what's going on with this Bears squad. So I'm all for it, man. I'm hyped. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely looking forward. Everybody that's listening on to the pod, where we plan on all meeting up. Out there in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Yes, sir,
when
baby.
The Bears play the Raiders. So we plan on linking up and meeting everyone out there, you know, all fans, not only of the show, but Bears fans in general. You know, we're looking exactly. to link up we're and get fans, out there man. and have a fucking ball. So, exactly. You know, we definitely looking to link up with everybody when we get out there. So, you know, it's so much left to be desired. You know, I mean, we're ecstatic. We had a, you know, we're going on a week now. You know, we're going on a week since we drafted Justin Fields, man. And it's ecstatic, man. I've been on cloud nine ever since, you know. So, yeah. I mean, hell, what more can you say?
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
And I'm going to say it one more time. Get on board. If you wanted somebody else, that's all cool, whatever. And you know, we bang on Mitch Trubisky, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at one point in time, everybody on this show, even DeVore,
mm-hmm.
who I don't think anybody's heard him say a good thing about Mitch, right?
Right, right.
But at one point, he was even on Mitch Trubisky's side. Mm-hmm. He was on the bandwagon. So, you know, and he let him down. That's why he had this.
Absolutely.
He got that feeling. So all I'm saying is, if you wanted Zach Wilson, if you wanted Mac Jones, whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You gotta accept it. You gotta accept it. Move on. Get behind this dude, man. He's gonna be dope. He's gonna be the truth.
And also another thing that we gotta like the offensive skill set, having all these young players, is that we gotta divorce in the process in Green Bay.
Yes,
it's going to happen. It may not happen this year. Hopefully it does.
He's not coming back. I'm going to tell you. He's not a guy to back out on his word.
It's Jordan Love season.
Bro,
baby.
He's not coming back. Did y'all hear the latest, that latest thing where it was like he's been sabotaging?
Yeah.
Because he's been calling, like they've been, you know, calling free agents, trying to get him to come. And he calls them and says, hey, I'm not going to be there. Just letting you know, I'm not going to be there. You might want to reconsider. Bro, like he's sabotaging his own squad right now, dog.
Like, look at this. We went from the worst quarterback position in the NFC North to, if that guy leaves, we got the best.
Yeah.
We got the best. We would have two quarterbacks better than Green Bay's if they leave.
He ain't going to be there, man.
He's not
going to be there.
I don't think he is either.
Andy Dalton and Justin Fields better than Jordan Love, man. Yeah. That's how crazy this is. And the NFC North is there for you to dominate for a decade, baby.
Sure.
Think about that. Close your eyes and imagine.
Let's get it. That's all I got to say. Let's get it.
It's a beautiful thing, baby.
It's about time.
It's about damn time. It's about damn time.
Facts.
So, yeah, man. We can end it on that note, man. We got Justin Fields, baby.
Damn right. Feels good.
I'm gonna go watch all of this tape from 2019 after we get off this podcast. I'm not lying either. I got stuff on deck.
He gonna be posting it too. You already know.
I'm gonna be posting. I'm gonna drown y'all, bro.
Facts.
Yeah, man. So that's where we at.
We sign off, man. Y'all hit me up on Twitter. Check us out, man. Of course, at 3Kings_Midway. You can find Daniel at Daniel Goodwin III. Roy.
At 79 Ill Will.
And me at NES_DV15.
See how it came out? It came out real simple for him. We had to go look it up, dog. We think yours is the hardest, man, of everybody's Twitter handle.
Yeah,
yours
I had to go look
hardest,
it up.
Man. We had to go. I was like, what is it again?
Yeah, man.
I had to go look it up. All right, man. We're going to catch y'all in these Twitter streets, the 3Kings of the Midway podcast. Hit us up. We out. Peace.